And Frank had mentioned he was going out of town and asked if I'd be prepared to share a sermon. And I said, well, you know, I said, not that long ago, which it probably was the beginning of May, when I was home tossing out some paperwork, the Lord gave me a word. And I said, well, I guess this will be the opportunity to use it or to share it with people. You know, I usually do Torah readings and not sermons, but I'm like, okay, Lord, whatever you're ready for. So at this time, my title is somewhat of this. It's, are you prepared to meet the Lord when he comes? Because I'm going to say he's coming soon, much sooner than we think. So I was at home tossing out paperwork from 1999. And I found articles about how to prepare in case of disasters. Back in 1999, everybody was preparing for Y2K. And they said, all the computers are going to go crazy. Everything's going to fall apart. Some people said store food and water. Others said not to. In the midst of this, you had to take a look at all the fear that was being projected. It was running rampant across the land. And as people did that, they stopped and they said, Yeshua, or Jesus, what do you want me to do? And it was interesting, because some felt that Yeshua told them to prepare, and others not to. But most interesting, it was the obedience of those not driven by fear, but by peace and calm. God was looking for us to have obedience to him and not be fearful. You see, our God loves his people, and he does not give us fear at all. And actually, over 365 times, he tells us in Scripture that we are not to fear, but we are to be aware. And in Timothy, Paul reminded Timothy that God does not give a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a clear, sound mind. Remember that, a clear mind, not a foggy mind. So, going back to 99, that's 18 years ago. Boy, a lot has happened since that time. Many prepared, nothing happened. Were we listening wrong? Were we prepared in the natural? Or was the Father trying to awake us up in the spiritual? I believe that what he is wanting us to do is to be alert as to everything that is happening, both in the natural and the spiritual. The days we live in today are perilous times, yet we're told to be at peace and not afraid. We are to be about the Father's business and be ever ready and alert for his soon return. Next, I was led to read in Matthew 24, and I did read 25, but I'll start with Matthew 24. It says, and I'm not going to quote it quite yet, but we see these things happening today. Everything that was spoken of in Matthew 24 is happening now. Yeshua, at that time, went up to the Mount of Olives, which overlooks Jerusalem. I was there back in 2006. I'd like to go again, but I remember this. He was up there. He was maybe sitting on a bench. Maybe there was a bench up there in the Mount of Olives. There might have been a rock. But he was looking down towards the temple and telling them that nothing would be spared about the city of Jerusalem. Not one stone would be left upon another, which would not be torn down. And actually, the Western Wall is still up. So it's not totally down, but it's most of the way down. The disciples said something very interesting. They said, tell us, what is the sign of your coming and the end of the world? They were talking about the end of the world back then, over 2,000 years ago. Isn't that interesting? So Yeshua began to answer them by saying this first: beware, let no man deceive you. For many will come in my name and will say, I am the Mashiach, to those in Jerusalem, or Messiah, and they will deceive many. And you are bound to hear of revolutions and wars. My goodness, how many wars are going on in the world right now? And he said, watch out and do not be disturbed, for it is necessary that all these things happen, but it is not the end yet. That was 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Fast forward today. Nation will rise against nation. So we have nations. And what about kingdoms? Kingdom will be against kingdom. And I said, Lord, what kingdom? What kingdom is that? And I believe it's God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom clashing. It goes on and it says, and this is what he said, there will be famines and plagues and earthquakes in various places. Many countries have had famines and earthquakes and plagues. No food, no water. In India, South America, many countries, all over the world. But it's increasing. And there are so many earthquakes today. Several times a day there's an earthquake somewhere. Plagues. We have plagues here in the United States. Really? Let's see. We have had bed bugs. I just was on vacation and opened up something and it said that I think it was Thief River Falls. Somebody was in a motel and their room was full of bed bugs. I'm like, oh my gosh. So, and there's David Hughes or somebody else that we know that was a truck driver, and he would say that he would go to motels and there would be bed bugs. And I'm like, my goodness. Then we also have now deer ticks. How about that? You can go out in your lawn and you might find a deer tick on you. And so let's see, I saw online that to get rid of deer ticks off your clothes, you just use a cat roller, a lint roller type of thing, and go up and down on your pants. My neighbor told me her dog has had several deer ticks, and our dog hasn't had them yet. But these are just plagues here in the United States. What other kind of plagues are there? We also have measles coming back. All these things that have been gone for years, they're coming back. So the earth is now groaning because of what's happening. And we were told then that it was only the beginning of sorrows. He said, this is the beginning of sorrows. What is it for today? Are we in the midst of the mid of sorrows? It also says, Jesus said, they will deliver you to afflictions and they will kill you and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Yes. So that meant because of Yeshua's name. That meant in Israel, not only in Israel, but all over the world, his people would be persecuted. Then he went on and he said, many will rise up and they will deceive many. And this is happening today. Even in the Christian community, there's deception. And I'm not going to go into that. We've talked about it in leadership, about deception in some of the churches. And that's why we want to get back to being people of the book and do what the word says. Also, because of the growth of iniquity. Iniquity means disobedience to God. So because of the growth of disobedience to God and his word, the love of many is growing cold. Then, these lovely words, Yeshua said, but whoever has patience until the end, he will have life. So we're going to have life because we have patience in all of this, that no matter what happens, we have patience. And then we're also told by Yeshua that the good news of the kingdom, that's the Father's kingdom, will be preached in all the world, in every nation, as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. And I looked online, and it looks like there's not too many nations left. And actually, guess what? Yeshua is himself appearing and preaching to people. He's preaching to the Muslims. He's preaching to people, the Aborigines in Australia. I heard that he had appeared some years ago there. So whatever places we can't reach, he's reaching it. How awesome is that? I mean, I would like to say, Yeshua, you can appear to me anytime. He has sent his angels to me in the past when I needed them to encourage me. But, you know, and I'm grateful for that. That doesn't happen to everybody. And I don't know why he chose me, but that's okay because he knew I needed it. All right. There is so much more to be said in chapter 24 about what is coming on the earth and presently is here. We are told the days will be shortened for the elect, or the chosen people. We're not to believe in false prophets who will produce signs and wonders. And even there'll be false messiahs that are coming. And so we have to have discernment. And the only way we can have discernment is by when we read the word. And we have to look at the word, what the word says, and I actually know inside of us, is this of God or not? And it's going to look so close to God. But know this, they're going to say that Messiah's out in the desert, or he's here, or he's there. Don't believe him. Because in Acts chapter 1, there were two men that came to the disciples when Yeshua went up into the air, up into the heavens, and he was covered by clouds, and that they said he would return in the same manner. He's not going to return in the desert. He's going to be coming on the clouds. So, are you prepared and ready to meet the Lord when he returns for you? Are you prepared to enter into the banquet that the Father has prepared for us when the groom, Yeshua, comes for us? Are you assured of eternal life? And are you filled with his living water? Have you made a decision to believe in Yeshua, who points us to his heavenly Father? As he stated in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, in Yeshua, Jesus, as he says to the Muslim people today, will not perish but have everlasting life. This does not mean that you should sit in your house all day by yourself and pray. God did not call us to become monks or nuns or whatever. He wants us to be disciples. And disciples are out with one another. Actually, he sent his disciples out two by two. So if one falls down, the other lifts up. But he wanted us to be out there among his people, telling them, not of Jesus' kingdom, but the Father's kingdom, so that many would come into the kingdom of heaven. And so likewise, we too are to be ready to give a witness to others about him and share the gospel, the good news of God's love, and be filled with his Spirit, and then help others to become filled with his Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of the words of God. But we need to hear his word daily to hide it in our heart, so that in the right time, we will have his rivers of living water flowing out of us. They'll just bubble up and we'll be able to speak them to other people. Now on to Matthew 25. We are told this, there's several stories here, several parables, but the one that he brought out to me very strongly was the one of the 10 virgins. And they all had lamps, and they went out for meeting the bride and the bridegroom. You have five that were foolish and five that were wise. The foolish ones, they all had their lamps filled with oil, but the foolish ones didn't bring any extra oil. The wise did. The bridegroom delayed. They all fell asleep. And then in the middle of the night, there was a cry. The bridegroom comes. He wasn't right there. He comes. Go out for his meeting to meet him. He was still a ways off, but they were told to go meet him. So all these virgins got up. They prepared their lamps. The foolish ones had nothing. They did not have the oil of joy. They did not have the Holy Spirit. But what they did is they went to those that were wise and they said, give me some of your oil because my lamp went out. Can you imagine going to somebody and saying, give me this? It happens today in the world. We hear it so often, give me this, give me that. Yeshua said, this is what the wise virgin said. What if there's not enough for us and for you? How many of us would say that? How many of us would give what we have away? I've done it. I've given a lot away over the years. And now the Lord is saying, hold tight and hold fast to what you have. So anyway, the virgins said, you go and to those who sell and buy for yourselves. So they had to go and buy for themselves the oil. And while they were gone, because they did not have extra oil, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready, they entered with him into the banquet hall, and then the door was shut. And not only was it shut, it was locked. Later, the other virgins, the foolish ones, came back and they said, Master, open the door for us. And he said, I don't know you. You weren't here. You weren't ready. You weren't waiting for me. So be alert, therefore, because you do not know the hour or the day. My question is, who are you like? Are you wise or are you foolish? Are you prepared, ready and peaceful and yet firm and not letting go of what is rightfully yours? And I'm not talking about physical things. I'm talking about spiritual things here. Are you totally ready to meet the bridegroom? Or are you unprepared to meet him? Is your lamp lit so you are filled to the fullest? And do you have extra alongside of you? Because the bridegroom has yet to arrive, and yet he is coming soon. The signs are all around us. It's time to be ready. The hour is late. How can his light be ready to shine in us or in yourself so that we're not hidden? We're not to be hidden under a bushel. We're supposed to be on top of the bushel, on top of a table for all the world to see. But sometimes we don't have his light in us. We think we do. We do all the right things and say all the right stuff, but we still have sin in our life. We need to recognize what sin is and remove it so the light of the kingdom of heaven can shine through us. And we cannot live on just a little bit of light. We're not that little light, that song that goes for the kids. This little light of mine, I'm going to make it shine. I don't know where that came from, but God wants us to be a big light, not a little light. And he wants to be filled, us to be filled with the overabundance of his light so we can light up the room when we walk in. And to do that, we need to ask the Father to search us and show us any area of sin in our life that is hiding his light so that we can be free to let his light shine in us. Now, I'm going to share this. We all have sin in our lives. None of us is perfect. But did you know that not trusting God is sin? Did you know that fear is sin? I didn't know fear was sin. I had a ton of fear from the time I was a little kid for many, many, many years till I was in my, late 50s when I learned about this. I had fear upon fear upon fear. I thought I was trusting God, but I wasn't. I was trusting fear more than God. There was reasons for the fear that came in, but I didn't recognize that fear was sin. Neither did I recognize that jealousy was sin, or that unforgiveness was sin, or anger or bitterness. So for me, the Lord began to reveal these things to me. And as he revealed it to me, I came to him and took responsibility for my life, not for my husband's life or my kids or my parents. But actually, what I did do is I took responsibility for my generations, going back to Adam, just like Nehemiah. Nehemiah took responsibility for his nation and people when he repented before the Lord. So I did the same thing. And that began to get rid of things out of my life. But in Genesis, it's kind of interesting. I found out that when I'd read this before, but I'd never paid attention to it, that when God spoke to Cain, he knew that Cain was mad at Abel. But he told him this, sin is crouching at your door. It really is, but you can master it. And so that meant that his self-independent nature that Cain had did not have to agree with unforgiveness with Abel. And it did not have to lead to murder, which it did. But he had a choice, because God gives us choices to follow God's way or to follow our own way. So each one, even though we love the Lord with all our heart, our mind, and soul, we still have our own self-independent nature that struggles with God. And yet, we can say to these things that we're not going to walk with it anymore. You know, when people came to Yeshua, he knew that they had sinned. The person, the woman that committed adultery after she was thrown before him, he helped her up and he said, go and sin no more. And so she had to make a choice. Was she going to sin or not? There were many people that came to him to be healed, and he knew that some of the healings had to do, some of the physical issues had to do with sin. And he would say to them, go and sin no more. There was a reason why he said that, because they had to make a choice. And he wanted them to be bearers of the light of the kingdom. And he wanted them to come into the wedding feast of the king. So also he wants us to come and be part of the wedding feast of the king. His light that will shine in us will give us peace in the midst of hard circumstances, and yet sometimes we falter, and that's okay because we're not perfect. But we can pull ourselves up and we can say, Father, I'm so sorry. I blew it. Please forgive me. And he says, Do not let your hearts be troubled or be afraid, for in my Father's house there's a lot of rooms. And he's gone to prepare a place for us so that where he is, there we can also be if we choose. It's up to us to choose if we want to be in his house or not. So we need to choose this day who we will serve. I have a tool. How do I get rid of sin in my life? First, you ask the Father to reveal to you your sin. Maybe that sin is, we'll say, unforgiveness. So he shows you you have unforgiveness towards someone. So then you say, okay, Father, you showed me I have unforgiveness. And you might be like me. Maybe not. I had a legal pad that I filled up with people I needed to forgive, or my fears that I had filled up two pages, because for me, I had my set of fears. You have your set of fears. You have your set of unforgivenesses. But we need, that's not part of God's kingdom, because you know what? In heaven, there's no fear. There's no anger in heaven. There's no jealousy. There is no bitterness, none of that. So what we then do is, once we discover, as he shows us what's going on in our life, we just repent and we say, Father, I just repent of this. I repent of being in agreement with it. And I'm so sorry that I participated with this. That doesn't mean that you won't be tempted, because we're all tempted. But in that temptation, once, even if you fall into temptation, right away you can say, Father, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. Help me in my weakness, because in your weakness, in my weakness, you are strong. And you know what? He does forgive you, and he loves you. But it helps us to become ready so that as we get the darkness out of our life, his light will shine so much in you. Others will see it, and they'll say to you, what did you do? What do you have? How come you're different? How do I know that? Because I've had people say that to me within the last 2 months at Esther's memorial service. Somebody that we knew 30-some years ago came up to me and they said, my, you look younger today than you did 30 years ago. And I'm like, I look younger? That's the Lord. That's the Lord showing me getting rid of my stuff. So that's some keys, but finally make sure that you read the word and do your best to walk away from your self-independent nature and become dependent on him, and he will give you the strength to do it so that you will be prepared to meet him when he comes. Does that mean if you have sin in your life and he comes, but you've asked him to be Lord of your life, that he won't take you into the kingdom? No, I don't believe that that's going to happen. I believe we'll still, go into the kingdom. But he's working on all of us to become refined and renewed in his kingdom. So that's all I have.